Thank you.
Am I good?
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. We serve a great God, don't we? He's amazing. He's almighty and all-powerful. Hi, Rachel and Rachel. Good to have you here this morning. It is an honor to have my family here. And Dad and Mom, thank you for coming. I didn't know that you would be here. And I'm the seventh of 13 children. And sometimes when people find that out, they'll ask my mom and dad, are they all yours? Yes, they're all theirs. And I grew up in my opinion, just the best home a person could grow up in. And Dad and Mom, thank you for your influence in my life and for giving me a good heritage and a good foundation. It's also nice to have my wife Esther here with me, and it's always better when your wife is with you. And Esther, thank you for coming. And then my kids are there, which I thought they would be in school, and somehow they got out. And any excuse, Ethan and Levi, good to have you here. And then my son Eric. Eric, why don't you stand on your chair and wave to everyone? Can you do that? Eric is 3 years old. And boy, I love Eric, and it's his birthday in a week and a half, and he's so excited to turn four. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know if I've ever been more excited in my life for someone's birthday to come, and I'm really excited for him. Eric, thank you for coming. Brother and Mrs. Burke, thank you for coming and being here. Surprised to have you here as well, but it's an honor. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. It's always an honor to preach anytime, but especially during Spirit Week and visitors, it is not normally like this, but I love it, and I love the Spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs, the spirit of man is the can of the Lord searching the inward parts of the belly, and your spirit is what God uses as a light to see what kind of a person that you are, and your spirit's it's a huge deal, it's a big deal. The Bible says a wounded spirit who can bear, many different kinds of spirits mentioned in the Bible. And I love on Spirit Week, we stop everything, and you should make sure that you have the right spirit and make sure that your spirit is good. Yesterday, Brother James talked about building, and it was in Nehemiah, and I told him after, I said, I feel like the Lord used your message to cement what I need to talk on today. And so I need to lay a foundation for a truth that I want to present to you. The truth is simple. The truth won't take long to present, but the foundation as we go through the Word of God. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, so please stay with me. 2 Chronicles 36, the Bible says in verse number 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets. Notice this statement, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. What a sad statement. They brought the wrath of God on themselves to the point where there is no remedy. There's a verse in Proverbs that talks about someone who is hardened in his heart. He says he'll often be reproved and that without remedy. What a sad statement. That's the affairs of where we find his people here in 2 Chronicles 36. Verse number 17 says, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon, and they burnt the house of God. Can you imagine? They burnt the house of God and brake down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. This is a sad history, a sad point in history for the people of Israel. The house of God is burned, the altar is destroyed, and the wall is destroyed. Very sad point. But God has a plan. And so if you would turn one page over to Ezra. Book of Ezra, chapter 1. Verse number 1, the Bible says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia. By the way, pause there. We're in an election year. You know, God can use whoever he wants to fulfill his plan. Our hope is not in whoever sits in the White House. It's not, it's never been where our hope is. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And here we see God uses this king of Persia. Verse 2, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods and with beasts, and with precious things beside all that was willingly offered. So God stirred a man's heart, and they decided to go back to build again the house of the Lord. Turn to Ezra chapter 3. Now again, I'm just laying a foundation for this truth that I want to present. Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 1. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and notice this phrase, and builded the altar of the God of Israel. The very first thing that they did is they built the altar. To offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his basis, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. Of course, we see there that the altar was built for daily offerings. Verse number 11, Ezra 3. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And I'm going to read Ezra 6. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. The house of the Lord is finished. Finished around 515 B.C. So the house of the Lord is destroyed. It's burnt with fire. The wall is destroyed. And the Lord stirs up the heart of a man. He goes back, and the first thing he does is he builds an altar. They don't have the house of the Lord there yet. The foundation's not even laid yet. But they build an altar so that they can offer daily sacrifices to the Lord. Then they lay the foundation. They build the house of the Lord. And then Nehemiah 6 and verse 15 says this. Don't turn there, but let me just read it. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. Before the wall was finished, the altar was built, the house of the Lord was built, but they had no wall. After the Babylonian captivity, a remnant of the Jewish people had returned to Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Ezra. These returned exiles had rebuilt the temple, but they were now in need of protection. The lack of fortified walls around the city left the people defenseless against outside enemies. According to the report Nehemiah received, the remnant in Jerusalem was shamed. A city with broken walls revealed the defeated people. The Jews who had returned to their homeland were both in unsafe conditions and humiliated at living in a destroyed city. There's much to be said about the rebuilding of the wall, the temple, and the altar, but I'd like to present a truth for you with that as a foundation. I'm going to ask Brother Mitchell if you get the one there that says worship, and I'm actually going to ask Mikey, would you come up and help me out with this? And you're going to just stand right there, and I want you to hold that sign so everyone can see. Much is said in the Bible about worship. This sign that Mikey holds is going to represent the building of the altar. It's going to be represented by the word worship. The altar is where they sacrifice daily to the Lord. This is going to represent our relationship to the Lord, what the Lord desires of us. God instituted for many of the offerings in the Bible to be done on a daily basis. God wanted their worship of Him, their putting Him in the proper place, to be done daily. We do not sacrifice anymore. We aren't under those laws anymore, but God's heart has not changed. He desires daily worship. He desires daily communion with Him. He not only desires it, but let me just say, He deserves it. Psalms 95 and verse 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. God desires and demands daily worship. Worship is to give God His worthy place in our lives, the place that He deserves, and He deserves that place every day. Worship is also the individual heart attitude toward God. Take your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 4. Passage on worship that I want to bring as I lay this thought to you. John chapter 4 and verse number 20. This is the woman at the well, and she's having a conversation with our Lord Jesus. Verse 19, the woman saith unto Him, Sir, I perceive that Thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Notice this phrase, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And can I say, He still is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We don't have to go to a mountain to worship Him. We don't have to go to a priest to worship Him. Our high priest ever liveth, and we can go straight to Him in worship. The last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22 and verse 8 and 9, gives us this admonition. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren the prophets, and of them which kept the sayings of this book. And he gave this two-word admonition, worship God. Don't worship me, he says, you ought to worship God. You remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was tempted of Satan, the last one, he took him up there and he said, You see all these things. He said, All look out, everything would be yours if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The goal was worship. And can I say, young person, Jesus still desires your daily worship. I'm going to have another man. Isaac, would you come up and help me? And Brother Mitchell has the sign. I want you to stand over there and I want you to hold that. This sign represents the walls that we build in our life. This is our protection. By the way, God always works from the inside out. This is the ultimate, what God desires from us. They started with the altar. They didn't start building the wall. They didn't even start with the house. They started with the altar so they could offer daily sacrifices to God. The altar was built. The foundation of the house was laid. The house of the Lord was built. Then Nehemiah came and they decided to build the wall. Worship would not have lasted if there was not a wall built to protect it from outside influences that would have sought to destroy it. Without the walls, our worship will not last. The goal of the wall was not just to have a pretty wall. It was not so that people could look at it and admire it and say, Wow, what a good looking wall. The purpose of the wall was to protect what was on the inside from being destroyed by what was on the outside. There are many outside influences that would seek to destroy our worship. The world, the flesh, and the devil battles us daily to seek to seek to destroy our communion with God. Scorners, the ungodly, bad friends, an impure mind, strange women, social media, greed, discontentment, the love of money, bitterness, outside influences that Satan tries to get a foothold into our life. Why? His ultimate goal is to destroy our worship. You know the story of the Trojan horse. And if the Greeks wanted to destroy, they couldn't get past the wall. They gave them that gift and appeared to have left, and they brought that Trojan horse into the city. Of course, that went unknowingly, but they brought the enemy through the wall. Ultimately, they were destroyed from within because of outside influence had gotten into the wall. And let me just say, Satan is always looking for a hole in your wall to get a foothold in so that he can ultimately destroy your life. Worship, let me just say, extremely important. The ultimate. Walls, extremely important. The more valuable what's on the inside becomes to you, the more important your walls will be as you seek to protect it. What do we do when something important comes into our life? We want to build that protection. I remember coming home from the hospital with our oldest, Ethan. Now we got to baby-proof your home, right? A gate goes at the top of the stairs. Now they can crawl. Now they can walk. For some reason, every one of my children loved to put their finger in the light sockets. So you got to put those little plastic things in there. And what do we do as parents? We want to protect what's valuable and important to us. So we put guidelines, we put boundaries, some would say standards, whatever the word that you use, you put those in your life because what's behind those walls is very valuable and very important to you. The goal was protection. Two statements that I want to give to you. Number one, worship without walls leads to destruction from without. Worship without walls will always lead to destruction from outside influences. World, flesh, devil. Number two, walls without worship leads to destruction from within. Worship without walls leads to destruction from without, but walls without worship leads to destruction from within. I said before, but God works from the inside out. There's a group of people in the Bible, we know them as the Pharisees. Listen as I read some of the descriptions that Jesus gave to them. I believe that this group, they had the walls, but there was no worship. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within, full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. It was a life that if you were to look at them and you saw them, you would say, wow, what a wall. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Certainly what's behind the wall is a very, very valuable, something very valuable to you. And God reserved his harshest judgment, Jesus did, while he walked here on the earth for this group of people. They had the wall. You were to look at them and you would say, that's a Christian. By how they dress, by everything on the outside. And Jesus reserved his harshest criticism and said, inside, you're a whited sepulcher on the outside, but inside, you're full of dead men's bones. They had the walls built up, but listen, there was no worship. There was no worship. By the way, let me just say, if you're here, worship always starts with a relationship with the Lord. When I was 10 years old, February 2nd, 1998, again, I grew up in a good home. But I had to come to the point in my life where I realized I could not save myself. Could not save myself. My mom and dad taught me so much, but they could not save me. I had to come to the realization that it was my sin in my life that I had to deal with. I had to repent. I had to turn from my sin. I had to ask the Lord to save me and put my faith completely in Him. And it's at that day that true worship began. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're here as a visitor. You have not ever done that before. Or there's not a place. You're trusting in yourself and in what you do, what you've done for the Lord to save you. And I tell you, true worship starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here like I was. There's been a time and a point where you have trusted the Lord, and that worship started. But the danger, young people, the danger is as we live our Christian life, as we go through the Christian life, we put up the walls, and we put up the walls, and we put up the walls. But the why of our wall seems to fade farther and farther and farther back. Until we become just like the Pharisees. We have all the walls put up in our lives, but we forgot about the worship. We forgot about the worship. God desires daily worship from every single one of you. You need both in your life. You must have both. And let me just say, I'm 36 years old, but I have seen lives that had the worship and they did not have walls put up in their life. And slowly, but outside influences, it affects them. Well, it's not important I have the worship. No, your wall is very important. The things that you allow to influence your life, huge. The music you listen to, the friends that you have, the people that you associate with, your walls are of utmost importance. But as you build the walls in your life, and you build them, and you build them, and you strengthen them, don't forget about the worship. Because if you do, your destruction will not come from outside influences, but your destruction will come from inside. Boy, what happened to that person? All outward appearances, everything seemed to be great. In most cases, when they had the walls up, they forgot about the worship. The Bible says in Matthew 15, in verse 8 and 9, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Can I ask you, sitting there today, where is your heart? He says, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where is your heart? Those of us that are second, third, fourth generation Christians, we know how to build a good wall. We do. That's how you were raised. You were raised and taught these are the walls that you need to build in your life. Can I challenge that group of people? Don't forget about the worship. Don't forget about the worship. This is the goal. This is what we seek to protect. Just like in my home, those children, that was what I wanted to protect them from the outside influences. But if we're not careful, we forget about the why. We forget about the whole reason of why the wall was built. The wall was built to protect the worship. Two decisions that I think everyone in here needs to make. One of two decisions. Number one, the group of people, this is good. You have the worship. You have that relationship with the Lord. Your worship is good, but your wall really needs to be strengthened. You know about it. The Holy Spirit, as Brother James spoke yesterday, the Holy Spirit convicted you. One of those gates that he talked about, things in your life you need to get rid of, you need to strengthen your wall. It does not seem important to you, but you let a one foothold in. You allow one outside influence to come in, and that grows and grows and grows until destruction from without. And some of you sitting here, as the Holy Spirit convicts your heart about an outside worldly influence, can I just challenge you? Strengthen your wall. Strengthen your wall, because your life is important. Second group of people, you have the walls. You know what to say. You know how to act. You have those guidelines. You have those boundaries put up in your life, but you've gotten away from the worship. You have not given God the priority of every single day. It's putting God in His place. We need both. Both are extremely important. You have the wall, don't forget about the why. You have the why, boy, strengthen your wall. Everyone bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I pray that You would use what was said today in the heart of someone. Lord, there may be someone here that does not know You as their Savior. They have not started that worship. Lord, I pray that You'd bring conviction to a soul, Lord. I pray that they would ask someone near them how they could begin that personal relationship with You. Pray that they would not leave this chapel today without knowing You as their Savior. Lord, there's people here that really they need to strengthen their wall. It's broken down. They've allowed Satan to have a foothold in them. Maybe it's moral impurity, wicked thoughts, a bad friend. Lord, I pray that You would help them to strengthen their wall. Lord, maybe there's someone here and their wall is good, but boy, they've gotten away from worshiping You. Pray that they would remember the why for their wall. Pray that You'd help them. I pray that You'd speak to us today. As the piano plays, You do what God wants You to do.